Where the hell is the kid in the future?
Will Ray Palmer
Yeah, where the
get a
hell?
cease and desist from Stark Enterprises? And is Felicity a Prentice Hull?
I didn't think of one, but I can think of one. When will we get our porno movies off this show to be released?
I'm sure they already exist.
How drunk are we getting next week when we hear the words Drink a Ghoul a billion times? And will Oliver take the gig? All this and more on this episode of...
My name is Oliver Queen. After 5 years in hell, I have come home with only one goal: to save my city. Now others have joined my crusade. To them, I'm Oliver Queen. To the rest of Starling City, I'm someone else. I am something else.
Coordinate your attacks. If you don't fight in unison, your numbers become my advantage. You both have a long way to go. Particularly you, Oliver. You've spent years preparing to bring a bow and arrow to a sword fight.
It's almost funny coming from you, considering you're the reason the League is targeting us.
Thea has the club closed for renovations. I've reinforced all the entrances with Argus tech. We're secure.
John?
My friends call me Dig. You shouldn't even speak to me.
Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 15 of the Rogue Arrow Podcast. That's right, the best Arrow podcast with four co-hosts in three time zones on two continents discussing one television show.
Oh, we're back! We're back, baby!
As always, I am Daniel James.
I'm Rudy Schubach.
I'm Chris O'Neill.
And I'm Laurel Murs.
Yeah.
I'm Laurel Murs.
Am I doing an accent this week?
Apparently.
No, you don't have an accent.
I don't have an accent.
All right.
You all have accents.
That's true. Mine is a standard American.
So, before we dive into the episode, just a few little tidbits of feedback. On Facebook, we had a couple of posts. One was from Steve O. He's out in Colorado now, running a brew pub of some sort. He's a good guy.
Not the Steve O, but a Steve O.
I would say the Steve O, but not the Steve O that you're thinking of. So he said that last week's episode may have been the strongest in my memory. They finally cut down on the number of stories they were telling, and everything went way up in quality because of it. If you remember, we weren't as thrilled with last week's episode.
Maybe he was talking about this week's episode where they did cut down on the number.
No, he was definitely talking about last week.
Get off topic.
But
that's also true. But we were also really bad at that last week.
This is true. I don't know. It definitely was trimmed down. I think in doing so, they exposed their CW roots a bit too much for our tastes.
But you're entitled to your opinion, and it's valid. You know, that's how freedom of speech works.
Yeah. Just know that you're wrong.
Well, just know that we don't agree with you.
I don't know.
Quite honestly, I don't remember what happened last week.
It's because it was that boring.
All right. And the next bit of feedback is a wonderful little YouTube video. I just lost his name.
That chili smells so good. Claire's making chili.
Brandon Sparks. Posted on our Facebook page. So Yeah. And you could go there and check it out. It's basically some guy's head exploding.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's just... That. Yes.
Yeah, I remember seeing it, yeah. I did sit there and watch the whole thing. I watched the entire clip.
It was great.
Checking to see if something else was going to happen. And the whole time, just...
So
it was pretty funny. I was into it.
Yeah. All right, so season 3, episode 15, titled Nanda Parbat, written by Wendy Miracle, Ben Sokolowski, and Eric Olson, and directed by Gregory Smith. Now, we're going to try something different and break up the synopsis a little bit, part by part. Yeah, so you'll hopefully enjoy that a little bit. So I will start with the flashback. And in the flashback, we see the end game of Oliver's, what's the word, debriefing of everything. And Mr. General Shreve is all like, hey, you should go back home because, you know, you're free now. We're not going to stop you from going anywhere. You are absolutely free to go places. So definitely nothing bad is going to happen. And then something bad happens as he and the Yamashiros are getting ready to leave Hong Kong. They get attacked. By who? I don't know. It's probably Waller's people.
Amanda Waller goons.
Yeah. Next.
Well, wait, no, you missed the part.
Yeah, the most important thing.
I guess, yeah. The climax is all they're getting shot at and pinned down, and Oliver has to take the child so that the Yamashiros can fight off the bad guys or something.
They escape with Akira.
It's not super clear as to why things happened like that.
Akira, that's what
I mean, it makes sense to run with the kid, but why were they all of a sudden pinned down? I don't know. We'll talk more later.
Because they had a pistol with one clip between them, and there were like four shooters with assault rifles and MAC-10s and shit.
We'll talk later.
Okay. Second part of the thing is me. It's the Adam and Felicity, or not Adam, is it Felicity storyline? Felicity decides to go all rogue on the ex-Superman, Brandon Routh. I mean, the Adam. I mean, Ray Palmer. She locks him out of his own computer and then says, you can either try and hack my awesome, super great password protection thing, or you could go and take a shower because you stink like shit. And then once you do that, maybe you should eat a meal. And maybe after that, I'll take you to bed. I mean, put you in bed. I mean, take you to bed. But before that happens, there's a super epic kiss where it's all backlit and shit, and she's all like, I'm sorry, and he's like, I'm not, and then they kiss again. Romance. So after after Ray Palmer has a shower and a meal and a good mid-morning sleep and, oh, I don't know, totally banging with Felicity, Ray finds the answer for what he was looking for, and also realizes that the password that she thought up for his password was the word password. Then he goes into his thing, and he suits up, and he flies around Star City like a goddamn boss. So that was the Felicity and Captain Adam storyline.
Just the Adam, not Captain Adam.
Just the Adam. Is Captain Adam,
Yeah, he's a dude. No, Captain Adam is DC, but he's like the Dr. Manhattan.
Why would you put a character named Adam and a doctor at... Okay, sorry. Captain Adam.
Why would you have a Captain Marvel in the DC universe? Like, these things don't make sense.
Captain DC in the Marvel universe. We should do that. That'd be great.
There we go.
Yeah. All
right. So this makes it my turn now, right?
Yes.
Because I'm just so good at doing synopsises.
Never done one.
He did one for one where
I did one last week. It wasn't very good if you listen to it.
I want to go back and listen to it. Did you put the stuff that we told? Did we put the crazy shit we told you to put in?
What crazy shit? It's late already, and I didn't pass it on.
All right. So, I've got Thea, and it starts off with Thea telling Roy that she killed someone. He's all, "Oh, I know," kind of thing. And she's like, "You know, and you didn't tell me? Like, I thought you did. You wouldn't want to know." And she bitches about it, and he says, "Look, you know, I killed someone too," and tells her the big sad story about how he stabbed a cop when he was all badass.
Pretty sure
he ends up taking her out to the cop person's house to say, "I give them shit. I bought the kid some toy," and, you know,
there's a bomb it there. Helps
alleviate the guilt. And then what else does Thea do? Oh, that's right. Thea, despite Oliver's orders in the previous episode to not go and tell Laurel, she goes and tells Laurel that she was the one to kill Sarah. Laurel says, "Look, it's not your fault. You were a tool." Sorry, I wrote you were a tool. And then I just realized I just said Thea was a tool. Yeah, no, she wrote, you know, she said, you know, "You were a tool of Merlin. You didn't know what you were doing. It's not your fault." And
but of course then, it was.
Then Thea likes to go and piss people off, so she goes and tells Ollie, you know, I told Laurel. He's like, "Why? Why would you do that?"
And, I told you not to do two things. One was tell anyone you killed Sarah, and two was not to tell Laurel you killed Sarah. What in the
Exactly. And finally, which is the end of this episode, is Thea tells Nyssa, our ghoul, that she was the one who killed Sarah, and she opens up the cage and gives her a sword. And that's my bit.
That is the bit. She also sold Malcolm Merlin out to the League of Assassins, but...
Oh, she did do that too.
Yeah, but we didn't see that. We just saw the aftermath of it.
Yes. So the show opened on a training sequence where the general sort of synopsis of that is you guys have to work together and not separate from each other. You're sucking at this. And Laurel gets all jealous because after like a half a year of training, she is a maze and she still is terrible at hitting anything with anything, as evidenced by her miserable attempt after she finds out that Merlin was the killer to try to attack a gentleman from the League of Assassins with her terrible stick work, which is also the name of her pornography.
Terrible. Her solo porno work.
Yes.
And it's okay. Her group porno in. Works is legal briefs.
legal briefs.
Barely legal briefs. Sorry. Barely legal briefs. There it is.
I'd watch that show.
Then, while Laurel's trying to take out Merlin, Nessa shows up and takes him anyway. And then somehow Oliver convinces Felicity to help her track him so that he can save Merlin by giving this big sob story about how he wants to save Thea's soul, because he doesn't want Thea to realize that he has killed her father and become like a murderous rampaging mag, which it sounds like she might anyway, based on her conversation with Roy when she's like, "Maybe I am just a killer." Anyway, I'm back now. So Arrow goes and tracks down Merlin, and he doesn't quite catch Merlin, but he does, however, catch himself and Nyssa, who he puts in a cage, with plans to not torture her until she tells him where Nanda Parbat is, so that he can go get Merlin. And Nyssa essentially says, "Of course I'm going to tell you, because you're going to go there and you're going to die. You're going to go and die. So, yes, you can go there and you can go and die." So he decides to go, so he can just go there and die. And everybody says, "You shouldn't do this." Even Laurel, who was really pissed at him, was like, "Listen, I'm madder at you than I've ever been at anyone. But even I don't think you should do this, you big dummy." Meanwhile, Diggs, in a strange turn of events, disagrees and thinks they should go, even though he knows that it's at least not all about the fact that Thea needs to not kill her dad. He has a heart-to-heart about it with his wife-to-be, And there's a little foreshadowing there about, like, oh, have you asked Ollie yet? And I'm thinking, like, oh, they want him to be the godfather. How cute. But we find out later what that's about. And then Diggs's wife, whatever her name is. What's her name? Layla. Essentially convinces him to suit up and get his ass out there and help his friend, even if he thinks it's dumb, which he does. So somehow he convinces Oliver to let him come with. They make their way to Nanda Parbat, which always seems like an awfully fast trip, if you ask me, where they are ambushed and then somehow, like, take out hundreds of League of Assassin peoples, only to come across Merlin, attempt to take him down, and be trapped in a cell. Then they get to have, like, man-to-man talk, CW style, in which we find out that since Oliver's first brush with death, he has only been thinking, closes his eyes and trying to sleep, about the fall that he took, and etc. Whatever. He made it really dramatic, and I can't remember all the words he used, but essentially, like, he doesn't want anyone to think that they can beat him. And he, Diggs is like, of course, every soldier has to believe that they're coming home from battle. And then he's like, no, it's not smart, it's dumb, and it's egocentric, and it's egotistical, and shit like that. And Diggs is like, no, I think you have to start to feel that way in order to survive doing what you do. And he's like, oh, somebody's a chipmunk. Anyway, oh, Rudy, you're a chipmunk. Anybody else hear that? Is that just me? Can you hear?
No, I'm hearing
he's
it.
He's definitely a chipmunk. Blue screen of death will do that to you.
Don't talk, Rudy. You sound like a chipmunk. Anyway, so then Oliver's like, hey, what did you want to ask me earlier? And Diggs is like, eh, it's not a good time. And Oliver's like, we're probably going to die, so if you have any time left, this is kind of it. And he's like, oh, I was going to ask you to be my best man. And Oliver's all, oh, I'd be honored. That's great. So see you in hell. Bye.
I thought he was going to ask the Godfather question. Sorry, go ahead.
I thought he was going to ask the Godfather question, too. There's two of your faces. Anyways, so then somebody comes and is like, we're going to take you now. And they go, and Oliver is presented to Drink Ah Ghoul. Hold on just a minute. Sippy, sippy. Where Drink Ah Ghoul says, gets very close to his neck with a sword and then says, you have been very strong and awesome at all things. I am not going to kill you. I am not going to kill you because I want you to be me. Da, 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 da.
I am not the first Dread Pirate Roberts.
I am not the first Dread Pirate Roberts. It's now really funny because they totally showed him in a Lazarus pit at the beginning of the thing, and I was like, is this the one where they talk about how he's forever? No. The answer is no.
The answer is no. I think Nessa's going to be super pissed about this.
Of course she is.
Yeah, why else would she be there?
What's your questions, Dan, Rudy, Chris, me, Dan?
So, where the hell is the kid in the future?
Will Ray Palmer get a cease and desist from Stark Enterprises? And is Felicity a Prentice Ho?
I didn't think of one, but I can think of one. When will we get our porno movies off this show to be released?
I'm sure they already exist.
How drunk are we getting next week when we hear the words Drink Ah Ghoul a billion times? And will Oliver take the gig? All this and more on this episode of... I win.
She certainly did.
You recovered the Omega from Chen Na Wei. We stole the Alpha from the Hong Kong military and gave it to Amanda Waller. Look, no matter how many times you make me say it, it's not going to be any less true.
That's enough. You're relieved.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. Waller's a little too thorough for her own good, and by thorough, I think you know I mean paranoid.
Well, I've got used to it by now. Where is she, anyway?
The mop-up of the Alpha Omega bioweapons problem has become a United States Army operation. Ms. Waller's participation is concluded. I'm sure that comes as a profound disappointment to you.
Oh, like you wouldn't believe.
I apologize for the invasiveness of your debrief, and now that it's over, you're free to go. The Yamashiros have been released, too. They're returning to Japan. You go with them, and from there you can return to Starling or go wherever else on Earth you wish.
Thank you, General Shreve.
After what you did, son, that's the least I can do.
So, flashback. Yeah, not a ton to talk about, I would say.
I did like the moment where he was like, make a run for that safety truck. And he's all like, wait, no, it's way too dangerous. And he's like, throw me the gun. Thank me later. I liked it.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, most action-packed flashback we've had in a while, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, the assault on the club. But yes, basically, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think the assault... Oh, no, wait, it was actually quite good, that assault on the club with him putting the tracker on him. But yeah, the flashback was fun this week. I liked it.
Short and sweet.
Yeah. And the story didn't rely on it.
Yeah. Right. True fact.
Yeah. Didn't seem to be dicking around with as much as boring shit.
There's one moment where Diggs and Ollie are taking fire, like literally in the form of flaming arrows, and then it cut right to Oliver and the whatever Yamashita's also taking fire, which I thought that was actually a pretty thoughtful cut.
Yeah. It's the kind of shit that I want to see.
Well said. Yeah. So, ends up with Oliver running off with the kid.
What's happening there?
Yeah.
I hope that it's going to lead to the answer to the question that we've been asking for, 4 weeks, which is, where the hell did that kid go?
Where is he?
Indeed.
The hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I'm looking forward to that.
I am as well.
Yeah.
Probably dead. Which
no!
Means, I think that means that Brad would win the death pool.
Oh no.
But, yeah, I don't know.
If Merlin dies next episode before the kid, I win.
That is true.
I don't think they're going to kill Merlin, but...
I don't think they kill the kid because I feel like Maseo and Katana are going to be way more pissed in the future about Oliver taking the kid and the kid dying.
Well, but that's might be why there's a stress on Oliver and Maseo's relationship, you know? Like, that's the other unanswered question, the elephant in the room on that one.
Yeah.
Here's my theory. I'm going to lay it down for you and you're going to pick it right up.
Hit me.
First, what happened? Maseo and his wife realize that neither one of them can have the kid because they are always going to be tracked by Amanda and her gang of thugs. And so they decide to put him in some kind of protective, orphanage situation or with some unknown not family member so he could grow up and survive. But because of the loss of the child, they can't stay together. And so Maseo takes off to join the league. And who knows what happens with Katana or whatever.
Or whatever.
Or whatever.
I don't know. She joins a knitting club or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see her taking up knitting.
Or
needlepoint.
Yeah. then she could wield them like she did that piece of rebar.
Oh my god, that must have hurt. Oh, yeah, that was so awesome. Bad.
That's like the coolest move. I was like, that bitch is fierce.
Friggin' tough.
Injury of the episode.
Yeah. Good times, good times.
Great oldies.
Alright, so next we've got Raylicity.
Raylicity, which now is officially shipped. It's not even headcanon anymore.
They
it's
have
legit.
Set sail.
They have set sail. I like that.
The sails are up.
Hey-o. That flag is at full staff.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Ugh, now I have to live with that in my brain.
Way.
I was oddly surprised by that happening, actually.
I don't know. When he came out shirtless and she was like, "You're very handsome." I mean, they're very good looking. I saw it coming out right then, but.
How about when she said, "And then I'm gonna put you straight to bed." Come on, that's like blatant.
Take you straight to bed. Yeah.
Maybe I was a little drunker than normal when I watched the episode last night.
This is very possible.
It's not shocking to me. I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't know. They bang finally. It's been hinted at for most of this season. Little more than hinted at for part of the season. And so I'm glad that they're done hinting.
Yeah, it was about time.
Done and pussyfooting around, if you will.
Hey-o!
Felicity, like, I think has sort of found the perfect man in this guy. He's, like, masculine. He's very smart. He has abs.
He's able to talk their language, which is kind of the most important bit.
He's right. And he's a billionaire.
No, but the most important thing is he bends to her wiles. When she suggests something that is smart and a good idea, he says, "You know what, buddy? That was smart and a good idea. I'm glad I listened to you."
I think the most important thing here is that he was rich.
No.
No, I would totally like date a girl if I thought she was really wealthy. I have no standards or morals. But, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And also, she's abroad, so you're just going to have to trust me on this one.
Okay.
If you say so.
Look, I think that the one thing that the only thing that irked me about this storyline at all, it all sort of followed logically. I liked the little sort of quip that they added where she hacked his password and the password is password, and of course it's about something funny and cute like that. Something that his sleep-addled brain just would not have thought of. But I think the thing that I really paused for was the suit. Like, the suit, I don't know, maybe I'm just not in love with the aesthetic of it, sort of in general.
Well, how about the fact that it's even red, like
Tony Stark,
and the fact also, that jetpacks in the same place, and that basically.
Well, and the fact that it's totally not faithful to what Adam is in the DC comic books. Like, he's not a flying, shooting, superhero-y kind of thing like that.
I was like literally praying as he was powering up the suit. Please shrink. Please shrink. Please shrink. Do anything.
I have a question. How did he not burn his ass when he took off? There's a set of jetpacks from behind his shoulder blades.
Right. Well, and like, you know, Murs, Jesse, who like never watches the show, came in for like that 5 minutes and he goes, "Oh, is Iron Man on this show?" And I was like, apparently.
The atom possesses the power to alter his size down to the subatomic level while retaining his natural strength level. This is accomplished by using the remnants of a white dwarf star made into a belt buckle worn on his costume. Originally, he had to manipulate his abilities via the belt and later with hand movements before eventually syncing with his brainwaves itself. Burr, burr, burr,
So if we're living in like a real world, I can see how they wouldn't want to go with that. But I mean, you kind of do wonder, like, he's a ridiculous genius. Couldn't he have
following come up, like, the events of the Zero Hour, the Atom gained the ability to also grow in size and internalize his other abilities without the use of the White Dwarf Star based apparatus. However, it returned to his natural age. These were lost. Yeah, I don't see anything about being able to fly or have super strength. He has relative strength. I mean, it's. I think that it's going to work more logically in this world, but it's not actually I don't think it's a faithful adaptation of what happens in the comic books.
I know, it might be frustrating to people. Anything other than like that direct correlation.
Yeah, which just makes me wonder, like, why call him the Atom or Ray Palmer?
Yeah.
Like, there's other characters he could have been. Like, he could have
like
been
the Cyborg.
Booster Gold.
Gold, yeah, why not?
The Blue Beetle. Like, people whose main power isn't, you know, shrinking. That being said, it very well could come up in the future.
That's true.
Here's hoping.
I thought that the suit being, like, kind of shown to us for the first time was a little underwhelming as well. I feel like it should have been an end of episode kind of thing.
Like, well, I spoiled myself on that one. I saw the pictures of it on the internet the other day.
That, and also, if you're going to do it in this episode, then they did it right with the actual end of the episode.
Kind of. Oh, no, I agree. The end of this episode was exactly right. But I think the suit probably could have gone a little longer in production. And then that when it was released, it should have been like a finalized thing, and maybe
it could have been the big
swoops in to kind of save Ollie or something.
Yeah, maybe this one we don't actually see the reveal of the suit. We just see him go. We see him tinkering with stuff, and then we see like a blazing blur in the background. It's just that scene where he flies past the window in the background. You don't actually see anything.
Yes, exactly. That would have been great.
Or mystery. I get it. I like that.
And then he shows up to save the day, and you really get a good reveal on it. Yeah, I think you're right, Chris.
And he does more than just fucking fly.
I have to say, though, if I had a suit that I could fly with, I would be totally cool with that. My trips to America would be a lot cheaper all of a sudden.
That's true. Also, you could look down girls' shirts with it.
Well, I do have to get a lot higher than I am now to do that.
That is a true fact. You are a short man.
It's true.
You have to stand on your tiptoes to look down a cleavage.
It's a very sad way to be in life.
Ugh, sucks to be.
I'm going to go wave about this later.
You need.
This is why I drink so much.
I would too. Okay, so Arrow.
So Arrow. Indeed. Yeah, anything else on Raylicity?
That's Raylicity. That's it.
I'm super cute.
I'm glad they banged.
Yeah.
I know I'm not the only one.
So he is alive. There were doubts. Do you have any idea what happens to the stock price of Palmer Technologies when Palmer goes missing for a week?
Whoa.
It's been a week. I've been a little distracted.
Can't get the Gollum module to interface with the helmet system. I've been working the problem, but I can't.
Stop.
Yeah, I imagined you'd say that, but this is the last step toward the suit becoming operational, and little facial hair is a small price to pay.
Stop! This is a subsonic ionizer. If you try to use it on a quad band circuitry, it could result
in a catalytic reaction that could destroy the entire building. Oops.
You need to get some sleep.
I will, unless I've cracked the problem.
Or blow yourself up.
Whichever comes first.
Ray.
When those men killed Anna, I promised myself I would never feel that helpless again. So can you even imagine how I felt when Brick's men took a portion of the city hostage?
Lousy. We all did. But if you're punishing yourself...
I'm not punishing myself. I'm focused on the task at hand.
Too focused. Clearly.
I'm sorry, but I've got a lot of work to do.
All right,
I realized I missed something. There was that whole sword fighting scene at the beginning.
I said that.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Later, I'll talk about it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I like watching Thea fight. I think it's really cool the way, like, she looks good when she fights. So, yeah,
I'm all about that. To be fair, you like watching Thea do anything?
That's a fact.
True.
You are kind of a creeper.
I'm not kind of a creeper. I am the definition. Great, you look up the word creeper, and there is a picture of me. But I really like to
make that happen on the Urban Dictionary.
Just like a picture of me, looking drunk as shit, like creep. This guy.
This guy. Okay. Arrow.
Does she have a suicide wish? Like, seriously, the. Here's a sword. Here's the cage open. I killed your love. Let's see how we go.
We can only imagine that she's like... I mean, you can't take that at face value, right? She can't just say, I killed Sarah. Period. And then have her not go, oh, you're the one. Okay, dead.
Yeah.
It's going to turn into a... Wait, what? Why would you do that? She's yada, yada, yada. Like... I don't think Nissa or Talia is as absolute as that.
No. You know? I think Thea's just kind of distraught, doesn't know what to do, just kind of wants retribution for what she did, but doesn't know any other way to get it. So,
yeah.
I think she's
she wants to be
coming from a really just fucked up place.
Yeah. And she's pretty effed up. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what Nissa is going to do. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be stab her through the heart. And if it is, there will probably be a fight at least, because that would be interesting to watch at the very least.
Are we allowed to talk spoilers in this podcast? I forget.
Just give a spoiler warning.
Big spoiler warning. Because the webpage for Arrow release all the stunts, and they do it for future episodes and past episodes, and there's a fight.
Okay, good.
Looks pretty badass.
Cool. Good. I approve.
I'm for some sword fights. I love me some sword fights.
Oh, I know, right?
Sweet.
You've been training for... All right, quote of the episode from this storyline. You've been training for years to bring a bow to a sword fight.
Yep. Yeah, that was a fun throwaway line. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. John Barrowman's just amazing.
This is true.
And I like his Aikido pants.
Cool. What's next? More on them. Thea had a lot of good scenes this episode.
She did.
She did. She had a good conversation with Roy.
Yeah, they weren't overly dramatic either. Like they were based in actual realism and emotion and shit.
Yeah. That's nice. And they weren't all like, man, my life is awful. They're just, you know, this is actually shitty.
Yeah. my boyfriend's leaving me and I want drugs. Now it's like, oh, my dad's a dick. I may have him murdered.
Yeah. Might have just killed my dad. I definitely killed my brother's ex-girlfriend / my friend / my friend's sister. Okay. Yeah, not a good position to be in.
Nope. True that.
Yeah. Thea's character has come a long way this season. Like, she was just huffy all of last season.
Yeah.
But in the first season, she was interesting because she was a junkie, and I really liked her as a junkie. but I'm glad to say that she's interesting again.
Yes. Me as well.
More Aussie.
Yeah.
What else do we need to talk about? I feel like we're running empty.
Yeah, we're good on that story. So
let's... main storyline. Okay. So the reason that I think Diggle was supposed to be talking to Oliver about godfatherliness, and I'm pretty sure Lowell's going to have the same conversation with me as about this, is the scene is set up with Diggle looking at the kid, the wife coming in, and being like, oh, hey, look, speaking of the baby that you're looking at right now, did you talk to Oliver about that thing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was right there with you guys.
And so the first thing you think of is, oh, they're going to make him the godfather. I love it. And then they're like, be my best man. I was like, wait, I thought they already got married.
Apparently not. No, they did get married. They got divorced.
Yeah.
And they're going to get married again. Yeah, okay. Godfather, though, that's the choice you make. That's a much more emotional connection. That's like making you a part of the family more than the best man thing. Okay.
I'm a godfather. I don't say it that way.
What? Yeah. You don't feel like you're a part of the family?
Probably pretty shitty at it then, I guess.
I tell the child that they're adopted all the time and that nobody loves them.
Oh my gosh, you are the worst.
No, that could be good godfather behavior. He's just that quirky guy. He's that quirky, it's Uncle Chris.
I don't know. I was made a godfather when I was 10. It's of my little sister, so I am actually part of the family. So for me, it's not such a big deal. but I feel like, you know, when I was asked to be a best man, I felt that was, you know, it was more pointed, mostly because the guy had a brother, and I suck it, little brother.
Well, I mean, I think it's a big thing for a relationship between two guys, like being the best man at a thing. That's big. But I feel like being asked to be the emergency guardian of your child, if the worst should happen to you, that's putting a lot of respect and a lot of faith and a lot of trust into a person.
We've also changed the laws in Australia. The godparents hold not that power here.
Oh, well.
So it goes to the next of kin.
Well, it's done. Australia's backwards.
Like, grandparents. No, we're upside down. We're not backwards.
Oh, that's true. Sorry.
That's all right. Which explains the difference between what I think and what you guys think also.
Sure. Why not? Ha ha ha. Sorry, pardon me. Keep going.
Yeah, I was totally with you guys. Totally Godfather moment. And then...
Okay.
No, okay.
Next topic.
Yeah, they go and assault Nanda Parbat.
Oh, here's my plot hole for the day. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
Nyssa, you tell me where Nanda Parbat is. All right, here's where Nanda Parbat is. Great. All right, now how are we going to find Malcolm Merlyn? Oh, I'll just use the GPS thing that I stuck on him a couple of weeks ago. Wait, time out. Let's rewind. Nyssa, tell me where Nanda Parbat is. Why don't you check that GPS thing you stuck in his ass like a week ago? Oh, yeah, that's a way better idea.
Yes.
Very good point, my friend.
Also, where did they say it was? Did they say it was underneath the Kush?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, underneath the... yes.
Which is in India, right?
Sure.
Except when they said that, I thought, wait, isn't that a kind of weed?
Yeah.
That would. Sounds like a fancy kind of marijuana. Okay. It's in Tibet. And they go there, and Diggle has an M4 and a pistol and saves Oliver like four times, which is awesome to see him all soldiery, which is great.
Yes.
Did love that.
Kind of weird that they can take down the League of Shadows or League of Assassins so, like, nonchalantly.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, well, bros, it's
true, but maybe they're being defended by their new recruits.
I guess.
All their good guys are out on all their good guys. Well, and that's the other thing. It's like Oliver can't beat Merlyn in a sword fight. Merlyn can't beat Nyssa in a sword fight. Nissa can't beat Oliver in a fight.
Yeah, yeah. Rock, paper, scissors. It makes sense.
All right, I guess.
Yeah. Also, the Kush is located in South Nubia.
Here's the thing. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing that I was left thinking, what happened with that then? The whole, like twice in the episode, which is usually a good indication that there's some kind of, like, foreshadowing happening. They mention that Thea and Oliver have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And then use the whole episode to do the opposite of what the other one wants.
Well, and then everything goes to shit. Together. So maybe they're still trying to push that point. Like, it's if we don't work together, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And so, also, we presume Oliver's not going to take the gig, so he is still going to probably have to fight his way out at some point in time, right? And in order to do that, they're going to need to work together, maybe. I don't know. I hear you. It's just maybe it's a longer overarching theme than we are giving it credit currently.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Otherwise, the other potential is that Thea's going to go like totally rogue and just like accept the fact that she's a horrible killing person and that she is her father's daughter and become a bad person.
Oh God, I hope that happens. That would be so interesting.
That's what it feels like we're getting set up for. Doesn't it?
A little bit. Yeah, all this talk about saving her soul. Yeah, that could be a really compelling overarching plot line. Is Thea being a broken person and him trying to save her morally, I guess.
You said morally, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like
morally. Because he should not save her orally. That would be gross. They're related.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty.
Super gross.
How late is it over there for you guys?
It's like 9. I just had a really long day.
It's almost 1 o'clock.
Ew.
Gross.
Yeah. So.
Dan gets to be sleepy.
I need to go to bed. So, what else we got?
I think I'm good. Oh, except for that whole, is Oliver going to take the reins of the League of Assassins?
No.
No, of course not.
Don't be
definitely silly. No.
Come on.
Also, why does Dig get to kill people?
I think that he's probably going for wound shots.
I feel like a bit fuzzy about kneecaps.
Yeah.
Huh. Thanks, Shepard Book.
Yeah, I think that he's shooting shoulders. He's giving them hero wounds. Well, they'll knock you out of a fight, but not leave any scars, any wounds, any damage, or any pain. Just
okay. That makes more sense to me then.
But Oliver's the same thing. He's just running around chucking darts at people, and that's he's a good enough marksman to not kill people, I guess. But he also lit a dude on fire with a flaming arrow, so maybe he is just sort of waving that. I'm not going to kill anybody for a little while.
Yeah, I need to get back into practice to killing people because, Ra's al Ghul.
Because Ra's al Ghul. Drink.
Ah, twice. Cool. Sippy, sippy.
I already ran out of beer.
Oh,
wait. Yeah, the beer is empty.
No.
Well, must be time to wrap it up. Well,
did Ray Palmer wrap it up? Find out next week on Rogue Arrow.
When Felicity pees on a stick.
Yeah. Awesome.
Hey, what are you doing here?
I need to talk to you. Is everything all right?
No. It's about Sarah.
Okay.
Malcolm drugged me. He gave me something that made me susceptible to suggestion, and I...
Thea? What are you talking about? I killed Sarah. I didn't know what I was doing, okay? It wasn't me. I'm so sorry, Laurel. If Marlin drugged you, then it wasn't your fault. But how could you work with him? How could you stand by his side? Because of the threat of the League. We have to work with him. I don't have a choice. Yes, you do. What happened wasn't your fault, Thea, because it wasn't your decision. If you want to make this right, what you do from now on, that is.
So we know Rudy's vote. He doesn't think that they're going to make it, or that Oliver is going to take the promotion. I don't know. Just
job, he was offered a gig. He's not going to take the gig.
Yeah.
Heather, I also agree.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on this. There's no, he can't take it and be faithful to Starling City.
This is true. Yeah, kind of hard to save a city when you're off, like, being all League of
Assassins. He takes it just so that he can pretend like he's taking it to be safe. Like, if I do this, I could stay alive.
And save Thea.
Yeah.
Which seems to be his motivation this most of this season.
Yeah, but how good is a League where, like, the leader guy doesn't want to kill anybody?
Yeah, he's not very assassin-y is the problem.
Maybe he feels it's time for a change. The League needs to adapt.
You mean Ra's al Ghul?
I mean, Dre. Oliver thinks that, and so he thinks he can change.
Well, of course he does, but does Ra's al Ghul think that?
No.
That's actually an interesting concept. Does Ra's al Ghul want the League to be under a more gentle guided hand, potentially?
That's three.
Maybe.
Or does he being Ra's al Ghul, just think that would be good?
I have to say, I'm still disappointed that Ra's al Ghul is just being played by a rugby league
player.
Oh
my god, you guys are killing me.
I don't know. Because, you know, I like the guy who plays Ra's al Ghul.
Oh my god.
I mean, he's no Liam Neeson, but.
Yeah.
Oh. I think he's great.
So, you know, he sounds all articulate and great, but, you know, those guys that play rugby league are, you know, da footy is good. Not bright people. He's not the right person for it.
That was a pretty accurate portrayal.
That's why he's so willing to invite Oliver to do it.
It does make sense.
I'm just a rugby guy. I can't do it anymore.
The League of Assassins is great.
Yeah, he got confused. He thought he was going to a rugby league match, and he just ended up League of Assassins. He's like, yeah, close enough.
You guys play?
Wait, what'd you say?
Look, you're strong, you're tough, you got a good arm. I think you should join our league.
All right.
Do you want to be the new league captain?
Yeah, he actually thinks he's just the head of the Wallabies.
He's like, shit, man, I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Yeah, like the game with a sword doesn't look like a footy ball. Just get me a tin and we're good.
I understood all of those words, but none of the context of those words.
That was just the same thing.
Our three Australian listeners will completely get it.
What's for you, Jeremy?
Hey.
Yeah. All right. What are the other questions that we had?
Oh, that was it. We did.
Ray Palmer. When do we get our pornos?
Yeah, when do we get our pornos?
I don't have an answer for you guys. I'm sorry.
Fanfic?
Yeah. I mean, apart from it probably already exists in literary format.
Ooh, it exists on Pornhub. I just typed into Google.
There you go.
Oh my god.
See, we're good.
What is it called?
The Arrow.
Ha, get it.
Clever.
I'm not clicking on. Oh, there's one on RedTube as well. Follow the Arrow, bang her hard on RedTube.
Oh no. Oh no. Released by Men.com, the Arrow porn parody has Magnuson and Fox portraying friends Oliver Queen and Tommy Merlin.
Oh, wow. That is a bold choice.
Sweet.
But guys, let's not be heterocentrist about this. They should be able to show their love however they want.
Yeah.
They should, but this is not the porn we requested.
Okay, there is a fic on the fanfic site, which is a Olicity themed fanfic.
Shocking.
I wish that there was a way. I'll have Claire do some digging. She knows those channels.
And I don't want to explain why I have this on my computer to my girlfriend.
That's why I did the control shift and incognito window.
Oh, god damn it! Although I'm very, very single, so no one's really going to be going through my history.
Yeah,
awesome. Your history.
So where the hell is the kid in the future? Dead?
I already gave you my theory on that.
I think he's dead.
Not dead. I don't know. I think that something terrible happens to him, which is what puts pressure on what's his name's relationship, but it's not necessarily Oliver's fault, which is why they both still feel like they have a blood debt to him.
Ooh, China White takes him.
China White.
Like, she takes what's it called? She puts him in charge of like a part of the triad.
What if China Wei uses that crazy mind control poison and makes Oliver kill him?
No.
Okay. I hope we're done with mind control after this.
That sounds like a shark jump. I mean, I think that the mind control was already sort of a shark jump, but it's just me.
Yep. They were close at the very least.
Okay.
Cool. Other questions? Yeah. Anything else?
Oh, done. Too many wine.
Cool. Too many wine. All right. So, as always, thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, roguearrow.blogspot.com, arrowpodcast@gmail.com, or Facebook. And yeah, other shows are at almproductions.net. Head over there to check those out. And we are off for 2 weeks. Next episode comes back March 18, so we will be back then.
So on March 18th, we'll find out whether or not Oliver is going to take the title of Ra's al Ghul from Ra's al Ghul.
Indeed. So, as always, thanks for listening, and I am Daniel James.
I'm Rudy Schubach.
I'm Chris O'Neill.
I'm pretty buzzed.
And I'm Ra's al Ghul.
Damn you, Ra's al Ghul. I'm out.
You tasted death, and you wanted more. The truth is, everyone and everything must come to an end, even for one such as me.
Kill me, but spare John Diggle's life. Let him go. I will beg for it.
You have shown tremendous strength, fortitude, power. No, Mr. Queen, I don't want to kill you. I want you to take my place. I want you to become the next Ra's al Ghul. We'll be right back.
Rogue Era Podcast is an Autological Media Productions podcast. Leave us feedback at roguearrow.blogspot.com or shoot us an email at arrowpodcast@gmail.com. Please like us on Facebook and rate and review us on iTunes. And if you want to check out our other shows, go to almproductions.net. As always, thank you for listening.
Dan.
Yo.
Do you remember the fifth rule of acquisition?
Nope.
Is it don't shit where you eat? No, that's rule 19. Never approach a space wizard from the rear? No, that's rule 65. Don't read the comments? Rule 81. If it exists, there's porn of it? 34. I give up. Rule 5. All rules are made up by the people who profit from them.
Nice. Absolutely true.
Man, oh man. I'm going to go play lots of Malifaux tomorrow, though. Excited about that.
What are you playing?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm back.
Malifaux! The thing that I skipped on that Friday that I hung out and drank with you.
Yeah, but I'm awesome to hang out with and drink.
It was epic.
It was.
I am kind of glad that we had to catch that train, because had Claire not came and picked us up, we might have been doing bumps of coke, and that's terrifying to me.
Yeah. I didn't do any coke.
Oh,
I know. Good.
But I did get punched in the face, which was...
By a guy who was bumped up on coke. Yeah, it's terrifying to me.
But I hit him back, and it was funny.
It's all true.
Oh, my God. Life is nutty.
I'm glad I'm recording.
Oh, yeah.